Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ. For we are made partakers of Christ if, a very big if we hold, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. What a thought. What a phrase. The beginning of our confidence. As Abraham, I am persuaded. The beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. How will you finish? Finishing like you started. Brother Livingston, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer?
Father God, we love you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, God. Oh, that your will would be accomplished, God. Lord, help us, God, to get to the place we need to get to.
God, stir us this morning. God, walk up and down these aisles. God, walk in between the pews. Reach with the hand of the Holy Ghost. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, God. Oh, we pray, meet with us here this morning. God, let me be here, but let Christ be seen, we pray. God, that your will, your perfect will, would be wrought this morning. God, we pray, touch and do only that which you can do. We'll love you for it, praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them I'm looking for a touch from the Lord. You may be seated. Finishing like you started. There is a finish line. There is an end. I fear that the church, that the darker the world gets, the more evil it becomes, that we've got used to the journey. And we can get caught up in the journey and lose sight of the end, of the finish line, of where we're headed. We can get comfortable with traveling. I love what I'm doing now. Somebody said, do you miss pastoring? My answer is free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I don't know a lot of you. I can preach and leave. No more phone calls. Was you talking about me, Brother Meekum, when you were preaching last night? I enjoy traveling. I'm loving and evangelizing or vandalizing, whatever I'm doing. My wife is homebody. She's a saint, sanctified. She's happy, content, obeying the Lord. Amen? But she'd be all right at home. But you know, we get used to traveling. Get used to looking at the scenery. It can become almost a home away from home. So that our heart somehow gets fastened to the scenery as we're passing by. And we forget. There's an end. There is a finish line. Oh, I want to help somebody today. Oh, somebody asked a very successful runner one day, how do you accomplish all the wins that you have accomplished? How is it that you have the success that you have? He said, you see, it's like this. Before I put my foot in place on those places, line up in my lane and begin to run, I takes my heart and I throws it over the finish line. And when the gun goes off, I chase my heart. I want to remind somebody, Woo! That you need to throw your heart over the finish line. And you need to understand, it ain't always going to be this way. You may be in the darkest place of your life, but there's a better day coming. You may be in the best time of your life, but there's something better. There's an end. There's a finish line. And we have something that we must hold. The confidence, the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. Matthew 13:49 said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 24, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness, and all unto all nations, and then shall come the end. Paul said in Corinthians, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. There's an end coming. Oh, you started well. You did run well. You did run. But what's happened along the way? Is there something that has entered in that has caused you to loosen your grip on your experience with God and begin to pick up and hold things of this world, and you have forgotten your first love? There is a Christ of the candlestick. There is a Lord of the lampstand. He walks in the midst of the church. And to the church of Ephesus, he said this, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know that you hate sin. You cannot bear evil. You've tried them that say they're apostles, but you found them liars. I caught this as I was studying. Verse 3 of Revelation 2. Has borne, has patience, has labored, has not fainted, has left thy first love. It jumped out at me. I want to preach to somebody. You started well. How are you going to finish? How are you going to finish? In verse 3, Jesus said to this church, you have borne, has patience, has labored, has not fainted, but in verse 4, has left thy first love. How are you going to finish? Where's your love? Where's the first passion? Have you become like the Shulamite woman who cleaned her feet, washed her feet, went to bed, but the shepherd came, knocked on the door, left his odor, his aroma, the spices on the doorknob. She says, I cannot come. I'm already in bed. My feet are washed. I've already planned something else. I can't make it to the meeting this year, Brother Prescott. They offered me some overtime. I can't make it Wednesday night. I look at this Shulamite woman, and I see opportunity. But she had privilege. She had privilege. The shepherd's at the door. She could have had fellowship. She could have been intimate with the master. You could have walked closer. But she had opportunity without desire. Have you lost your desire? I'm trying to preach what God gave me. Have you lost your desire? Finishing like you started. Have you left something along the journey? Have you picked up something? Oh, we need to lay aside every weight, and every sin. But instead of laying aside sin and weights, have we laid aside our passion and our desire and our first love? Have we laid aside some things? We started well. But have we laid aside the wrong things and picked up the wrong things? This morning, look with me at Saul as an example. Look at this young man. There was no king of Israel in my estimation that started out better than Saul. No king more promising than King Saul, the first king of Israel. Look at his heart. The Bible tells us that when Samuel anointed him, that God, in chapter 10, verse 9, and so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Here's your young man that God gave another heart to. Oh, do you remember when God gave you another heart? Do you remember when he took out the stony heart and gave you a heart of flesh? God gave him another heart. The Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied. God didn't leave him alone. He sent a group of men with him that he could travel with, that he could fellowship with, whose hearts God had touched. In verse 26 of chapter 10, verse Samuel, oh, I'm telling you, you've got privilege. Do you have a desire to keep traveling? Have you placed your heart on the other side? Have you made up your mind? I will not get bogged down. I'm determined to run, to win. I'm not running to lose. I'm running to win. I'm going to make it by the grace of God. And I'm all in. God gave you a good church. Good saints of God. Good pastors. Huh? Men whose hearts God had touched. God gave you a new heart. God touched your heart. You were so in love with him. But could it be that the Lord's looking at you this morning, has labored, has patience, has told, has witnessed for me, has left thy first love? What happened to this heart of Saul? You know the story. He didn't guard his heart. God touched his heart. God gave him another heart. God touched the hearts of those around him. But a song destroyed him. It doesn't take anything big. The devil don't, he don't care if it's big or small, as long as he gets in your heart. It was just a song. Saul has slain his thousands. David his 10,000s. And he didn't keep his heart. And the enemy entered in. Jealousy, envy entered in. He started out with another heart. He started out loving God, passionate for God. Oh, come on now. We find not only his heart, but look at his spirit. His spirit was humble. He didn't want to be seen when it came time to put the crown on his head. They couldn't find him. He's hiding among the stuff. They had to inquire of the Lord. And inquiring of the Lord, God said he's hiding among the stuff. They brought him out. There was a celebration. They cried out, "Lonely of the King." He started out humble. He started out with another heart. But he didn't guard that heart. Listen, listen to me this morning. Can I preach to somebody? Proverbs 4:23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Pray for my church. I'm reaching for somebody. You need to keep your heart wherever you've cooled off, wherever you've settled down and adjusted to this world, wherever you have become comfortable with this world. Don't leave this building today until you become uncomfortable again with the world. Until you take your heart. Take your heart. Throw it over the finish line. And chase your heart. But Saul didn't keep his heart. You see, what does it mean to keep your heart? Out of it are the issues of life. It means to set the Lord always before you. You see, there's just something. If I set Jesus right here, I'm not likely to sin. I'm not likely to find a cherished hobby when I ought to be praying, when I ought to be studying the Word of God, when I set the Lord before me. Amen. Oh, hear me. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Are you being moved away from the hope of the gospel? Are you becoming accustomed thinking you can find your way on your own? But you need to throw your heart over the finish line. You need to guard your heart. As Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Keeping the heart, it means to store it well with pure and holy things. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things you need to have in your heart. You need to store these things in your heart. But you see, not only keeping my heart means I set the Lord before me always, that I put good things in my heart. I must keep my heart itself pure and holy. It's not enough to have good things on the shelves. The very fiber of my heart needs to be pure and holy. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." God not only sees the outward act, He sees the heart. As He's walking through this place today, He's looking at your heart. What does He see? You did run well. You started good. You've been in this journey, many of you, a lot of years. You have fought battles. But the problem is, along the journey sometimes, we get wounded. We hear a song, and jealousy knocks on our heart's door. Some other singer gets up and sings our song. I've already sung that twice. They ain't got no business singing my song. I'm feeling pastor coming out on me now. Had a trio fill out. Got upset at me. They gave me a CD to listen to. I want you to learn to play this. We won't sing this. Well, another trio in the church come to me and said, "We got this song. We're gonna. I said, "Yeah, I've heard that one." And we practiced and they sung it. Being as wise and perceptive as I was, I caught it right off. No, I didn't. It was months later, Pastor. That trio that gave me a CD brought me another one and said, "We want to sing this song, track so-and-so. I'm going to give this to you for you to learn for us. And if you give it to anybody else, I'll never give you another one." That's one example of 1,000. Who stabbed you? Who do you feel like? They may not have, but you feel like they wronged you. That trio was never wronged. That has got to that song first. "Oh, you're sanctified, your holiness." I'm telling you, church hurt is the worst hurt. And I run into people all the time, even people that were raised holiness preachers, independent holiness preachers. And it's like they've got a vendetta. They've got a grudge against the holiness movement. Somebody said they got a scab. They got a wart. They got something. And every chance they get, they try to make the holiness movement look bad. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't care how he gets you sidetracked. I'm trying to help somebody. You need to finish. You need to finish. You need to finish well. You need to finish like you started. Where's the first love? There was a time you were prayed up, and it didn't matter what they said, if they sung your song, if they done this, that, or the other, you just kept the victory. You just smiled on. You kept praying in the altar, kept paying your tithes, or you kept shouting. You kept the victory because you said, "I will not allow this to get in my heart." Thank God, I've got a finish line to cross, and I'm going to finish well like I started. Somebody lift your hand and love him. You know what kind of heart you need? You need a willing heart, a perfect heart, a tender heart, a broken heart, a united heart, an enlarged heart, a sound heart, a merry heart, a pure heart, an honest and good heart, a single heart, a true heart. These are all scripture. So if I start in Exodus 35 and 5 and end up in Hebrews 10, 22, and I keep all these hearts in me, I ain't got time to hold anything against you. I ain't got time to listen to the lies of the devil. I don't want to end up like Saul. His heart, God gave him another heart. Put men and people around him whose hearts God had touched. You started well. Had a humble spirit. Hiding among the stuff. But he also was courageous for God. He came from the herd, from the field. They heard the story of the men of Jabesh Gilead, the Amorites had come and said, "We're going to destroy you." They said, "Give us 7 days and we'll serve you if we can't find anybody to help us." He said, "You understand, we're going to gouge out your right eye. You're going to be service to us." And the anger of the Lord came upon Saul. And he took a bullock ox, cut it up in pieces and sent it throughout Israel. And said, "This is what's going to happen if you don't come after me." And the fear of the Lord fell on all the people. And they came out with one consent. There was victory because somebody was courageous. What a beginning. Now listen, he was not only had his heart right, he had the right spirit, he was humble, he was courageous, but he was forgiving. He started out with a forgiving heart and spirit. Samuel 10:27, but the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. He held his peace. Now in chapter 11, on the morrow, after the victory, Saul put the people in three companies. They came in the midst of the host, morning watch, slew the Amorites. There was victory. Amen. They scattered them so that one was not left together. The people said to Samuel, "Who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring them in. We're going to put them to death." Saul said, "There shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord have wrought salvation in Israel." How different is that from chasing David like a dog? How different is that? God has wrought salvation. We're going to forget that. We're going to forgive that. Then jealousy that drove him until he began a journey on the road to Endor. He started well. Right heart. God, he gave him another heart. Oh, God. The right spirit. Humble. Where'd you pick up that pride? Where did you pick up that pride? Where in your journey did you feel like that you became better than somebody else? Where along the way did you lose that humble spirit? Not wanting to be seen, wanting Christ to be seen. Where along the way didn't you keep your heart? Jealousy entered in. Where along the way did you lose your courage to witness for Christ? Where along the way did unforgiveness enter in? And you, like Saul, started down the road to Endor. What a promising beginning. What potential. What privilege. But he didn't keep his heart. He started great well. He started good. But he didn't finish well. He didn't go in one night to that witch at Endor. That journey started years ago. And from where he was to Endor, he had to go by the graveyard where Samuel was buried. He had to go by where Samuel lived. He had to go by the place of his anointing. I'm trying to help somebody. Where did you get bored with Jesus?
Where did you get weary in well-doing? Where did you deviate? Saul openly rebelled until he finds himself on a road that leads him to his last supper on this earth was with a witch. And the next day he was wounded in battle and he fell on his own sword. I'm trying to rescue somebody this morning. That world's pulling on you. That devil's painting a beautiful picture to you. You've strayed onto the road to Endor. But I submit to you, there's a lot of exit ramps off of that road to Endor. And God sent me to give you an exit ramp this morning. Get off the road. I don't care what they did. I don't care how embarrassed it made you. I don't care how deep it cut you. I don't care what you've had to endure. You understand what I'm saying? I do, but it don't. It's not worth your soul. Finishing like you started. Are you going to end up with the devil's crowd as your last supper? Are you going to fall on the sword because you've been wounded in battle? Are you going to finish like you started? Has borne, has labored. Huh? Has witnessed for my name's sake. Has left thy first love. Repent, or I'm going to remove the candlestick. God is saying, do I have time for an altar service? Sister Prescott or whoever. We won't get plenty of time for Bill Savage. But somebody needs to pray. You started well. You've been along the way. You've been on this journey. But somewhere, something's got in your heart. And it's taken you from the highway of holiness, and you don't realize it. But you got one foot on the highway of holiness and the other one over on the road to Endor. And the devil's going to devour you if you don't come back to your first love. If you don't take your heart out of this world, put it in the next. If you don't remember from whence thou hast fallen, get some things right this morning. Don't leave. Don't continue going that way. Swallow your pride. Lay down the things that you picked up that you one time sacrificed for the Lord. Come back that when the shepherd turns the knob on your door, you'll have the desire to take advantage of the opportunity of his fellowship. To make it easy, I'm going to ask everybody to come. Not here to embarrass anybody, but I'm here for God to rescue somebody. Turn you around this morning. Would you come and pray?